advancing pleasure. This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Wednesday, the middle of the week, and it is the middle of Masters Week. The Masters tees off tomorrow. Baseball tomorrow. It's Easter weekend, so a lot of people are moving up activities to Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And because the weather's not supposed to be all that nice tomorrow, you get to be inside, listen to, and watch the Masters on the radio, on TV, on your computer. It's all over the place. Tomorrow on the show, we will be joined by Jason Sobel from ESPN.com. He's blogging all the time, live from Augusta. Chatted with him earlier today, and we will talk with him tomorrow as things get underway from Augusta and the Masters. And hopefully your picks, if you're in a little picking contest, go well this weekend. Will you be taking Tiger Woods? Will you not be taking Tiger Woods? It's interesting. A lot of people, I think, are in Tiger's corner. But Jason Sobel, among our guests on the show tomorrow.
It's a big fan day today at the Masters, too, with the par 3.
Yeah.
A lot of people there for that.
I want to know if the par 3 contest ever used to mean something. Because now it's just a chance to get to watch people play more than a practice round and to get your family out on the course. And again, the par 3 contest, there's a totally separate course for the par 3 contest. It's a totally different part of the area there at Augusta and at Augusta National. But still, it's a fun thing. ESPN television coverage of that today, the first two rounds, the next couple of days. And again, it's 2009. Let us watch the golf tournament. Let us watch the golf tournament. I guess it's getting to the point now. I mean, if you're going to let the internet and you're going to let Dish and DirecTV and all that show you Amen Corner and show you parts of the deal, then let's just be able to watch it. Let's just be able to watch the tournament. If you want to watch every one of Tiger's shots in this tournament, you should be able to. Phil Mickelson, whoever, you should be able to. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can also email us, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. Steve Stewart from the Kansas City Royals Radio Network is set to join us here in just a little bit. Also, we'll be talking with the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm, Drew Shenick. He is coming out of Canada and headed to Kearney to coach the Storm here. And we will talk with Coach Shenick coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're also going to give you a chance to win tickets to tomorrow night's Nebraska-Texas baseball game. It's got to be better than it was last night. Nothing more than embarrassing can be the word for Nebraska's performance last night against Creighton. 11 walks in a game against Creighton. How can one poor kid go out there, walk four guys and plunk another one or two? It's just, it's a rough game. But as we had Augie Garrido on the show yesterday and a chance to talk to him, he says, and he knows, it's always fun when Texas and Nebraska gets together. I think he genuinely likes coming up to Lincoln. Of course, going to Omaha, take a quick look at Rosenblatt and tell your team, this is where we want to go. Now let's go to Lincoln and sweep these guys. And I'm sure that's what they have in mind. Their pitching is great. The Huskers is not right now. And the Huskers pitching is going to have to try and slow down the hitting of Texas, which is not very good right now. But anyway, we'll give you a chance to win a four-pack of club-level seats to Nebraska-Texas coming up later on in the program. We'll get to more Masters talk And we will also be talking with the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm, Drew Shenick. But the season got underway yesterday for the Kansas City Royals, albeit one day late because of the weather. And we are pleased to be joined here at the top of the program on the Doug and Daddy Show by a member of the Kansas City Royals Radio Network, Steve Stewart. Join us, Steve. Good morning.
How are you today?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm not good. I'm not good. I think Jim Tomey's a good cat, but holy moly, Steve.
Yeah, that was no fun.
That's not the way we wanted to start the season.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, because it's opening day, it's going to get more focused than most games would, for obvious reasons. I mean, if it were a Tuesday night in June, we'd be disappointed, but we'd say, well, another game tonight. Let's go get him. But when you've been waiting for a game for 7 months, it doesn't, or 6 months or whatever, it doesn't feel as good. But, you know, I mean, what can you say? I mean, Tomey's borderline, I guess, a Hall of Fame player probably, and he's, you know, he's made a career of beating up on the Royals. I mean, everybody, but especially the Royals. It's a shame because Gilmesh was just exquisite yesterday, over seven innings, and you couldn't have asked anything more from him. And, you know, I saw every exhibition game, and Farnsworth was very good in Arizona, and, you know, he's given up some home runs in his career, but that's baseball. And, you know, the real shame was that the Royals had so many base runners early in that game and couldn't cash in. I mean, they stranded nine in the first five innings, and they should have been up. I mean, it's easy to say, but really, they should have been up 5-1, 6-1, 7-1, but they weren't, and that's, you know, that's the situation they were in.
Steve, that's obviously, and let's try and brush game one under the rug here, as you said, as quickly as we can, but obviously some questions come out of that, since that was one of the problems Kansas City has had the last couple of years while they're trying to get pointed in the right direction. Obviously, if this is a game in July, Gilmesh is probably still in that game, but they couldn't push across the runs. It started out so well, especially for the fans listening up here in Nebraska, with Alex Gordon homering in his first at-bat.
Yeah, no question. And, I mean, it's great to see him have a little success in his first game because, you know, he's kind of remade himself as a hitter somewhat this past off season. He's worked very hard with Kevin Seitzer all winter and, of course, all spring. And so it's great to see that for him. Of course, he drove in both runs yesterday. So that was good. And, yeah, I mean, Gil's pitch limit is a little lower early in the year than it would have been later on. You know, later on, he probably might have gone in the eighth inning. But against that lineup, that's a tough lineup. That's a really tough lineup. And to do what he did, I mean, not many pitchers can do that against this lineup in that ballpark, you know, with the home opening day emotion that they had going on.
Steve Stewart of the Royals Radio Network joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Now, Steve, Big Daddy's on vacation this week, but I know he would want me to ask you a couple of questions because we've debated, you know, how the Royals put their team together, and I guess that's what our talk radio is all about.
Of course.
And two of the names that we looked at and we scratched our heads a little bit about was Coco Crisp and Kyle Farnsworth. Now, sell us on these two guys.
Well, Coco's an easy sell. It's sort of a stock the Royals were able to buy a little bit low. He's been hurt the last couple of years, but this guy has been so much more than even I thought he'd be, both on and off the field. I mean, he's a great guy. He's not that old. I think he's 29, but he's been a real leader. And this is a little example of it. Well, I mean, really, it's a big example. You know, in spring training in these games, you know, the ball players, the starters, you know, they leave the game in the fourth, fifth, sixth inning, whatever, and then they're free to go. You know, because usually they've been working all day on drills in the morning and whatever, and so they get out of there. And you'll see an exodus midway through the game when the veterans sort of, you know, grab their baseball bag and off they go to the clubhouse to get changed or whatever. Coco, as far as I know, every game or almost every game, even if he was taken out in the fourth, fifth, sixth inning, he stayed in that dugout till the game was over and would talk to the young players. And it's funny because as spring went, and this is true throughout baseball, not just the Royals, every team, the veterans leave when they're out of the game in a spring training game.
Well, yeah, they got tee times.
Of course, and, you know, they got other things to do, and, you know, it's whatever. So the point is that by the end of spring training, you'd see five or six veterans staying in the dugout with him until the game was over. I mean, he was kind of a Pied Piper. And, I mean, you know, who knows how much, you know, his advice means. I don't know. It can't hurt, I'll put it that way. But the example, the team-first example he set was really wonderful. You know, and beyond that, you know, his on-base percentage in spring training, I know it's spring training, but he walked an awful lot. made his way on base a lot, and that's, you know, that's his job as a leadoff guy, is to get on base. And I know historically his on base hasn't been great as a leadoff hitter, but I think he's matured. I think he's healthy, knock on wood, and I think he's really dedicated himself, knowing this is his role here. He's got to kind of lead the charge. That he's going to be the guy at the top of the order to get on base and get things going. He's an excellent base runner. Another example, he was at third in a game in spring training. Tien was stealing second, and the catcher threw down to second. Tien was probably going to be out. He didn't have a very good jump, and even though Tien's a very good base runner himself. So Coco's over there at third, and Coco sees that Tien may be out. So Coco starts wandering down the third base line 6-8 feet, just enough to get the second baseman to step in front of second, grab the ball in case it was a double steal to throw home, and that allowed Tien to be safe at second, and Coco was close enough to get back to third, no trouble. So he allowed Tien to make a steal, and maybe he would have been out. You know, and then the team first, smart player, very smart on the base paths, as is Tien. I think he's a great addition, kind of an under-the-radar guy. Plus, of course, he has a World Series ring, and you know, that's a nice thing to bring to a ball club. So I think that's an excellent addition. I think Farnsworth brings a lot of things. I mean, I know, obviously, you know, he's given up some home runs in his career, but he's a strikeout guy, and Dayton Moore's a big believer in late-in-game striking people out. Of course, he got Quinton yesterday, didn't get Tony. But I also think Farnsworth brings a little bit of a tood, if you will, and a little bit of nastiness, a little bit of the old nasty boys, maybe, in that, you know, the Royals, I think maybe the perception is, you know, nice guys, and obviously they haven't been winners in a long time, and I think it's kind of good to bring a little bit of fire into that, and maybe a little bit, and you know, nobody feels worse about what happened yesterday than him, but he cost a lot of money, and, you know, you could debate the money, but that was what, you know, I mean, I give David Glass credit for authorizing, you know, the payroll jump. Most teams cut payroll this year. But, you know, he's another piece of a very good bullpen. I mean, we didn't see Mejia yesterday. We didn't see Juan Cruz yesterday and some of the other guys. But he's used in the right way. He can be a very effective reliever. And, again, in spring training, in about 11 appearances, I think he really only had one clunker there, and that was 3 weeks ago or something. And so, you know, we'll see. You know, it's a long season, but these baseball guys, they study this stuff and confer with a lot of people and talk to a lot of scouts, and they're paid to make these tough decisions.
Steve Stewart from the Royals Radio Network joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's look forward.
By the way, where is Daddy this week? Did he go somewhere warm or what?
Yeah, it starts with Ka and ends with Bo.
Oh, really? Well, that's good.
Yeah. We kind of thought that was the only place there was enough sun to get the entire body tanned. So. But Daddy, like I, we've been lifelong Royals fans, and like a lot of lifelong Royals fans, we've been waiting for a chance to be opportunistic about this team, which seems to be growing and growing. And now it seems like the national perception has also jumped on the bandwagon more than it has in a long, long time. I was surprised, actually, to see the Royals, everybody making their predictions for who's winning divisions, who might be making the playoffs, and the Royals were up there about as much as anybody else in this division. Are you surprised by that? I mean, I know we're optimistic, but still, I would think that would still be a surprise if the Royals would win the division. I think they can be better, but winning the division, that's still a pretty tall task, isn't it?
It's going to be a tough task. A lot of people are picking Minnesota, and I don't have any problem with that. I mean, they're just a very solid team. But, you know, it's a very wide-open division. I mean, you know, last year the Royals were able to eke out in front of Detroit, which finished last. And I'm not overly impressed with Detroit's pitching at, you know, as I see it going into the season. You never know how the year is going to go. I mean, injuries. I mean, there's so many factors that we just don't know about right now. But it's nice to see. I mean, you know, kind of quietly, I mean, as bad as it was in the middle part of this decade when they were losing 100 games, I mean, you know, they went from 56 wins to 62 wins to 69 wins to 75 wins. So the next projection would be 81 or 82 if they can keep that going. And I'm not sure anybody can win 90 in this division. If they do, they'll really have a good season, because it's tough going through this division. So, you know, I've also heard the prediction the Royals could be last and finish above 500, which, I mean, that's possible too. I mean, I certainly would love to see them win the division. And certainly we all would. But I think they definitely, you know, we want to see them, you know, playing meaningful games in August and September, first of all, and, you know, hopefully make that next step. But, you know, and we're going to, you know, there's obviously question marks for every team that you go into a season. Gil got it off to a great start. We hope that Zach looks good tonight, by the way, today being 40th anniversary of the first game the Royals ever played. And so it's kind of a big day. But tonight it'll be Zach, who hasn't had great numbers against the White Sox in his career. But, you know, we know what he was like last year. And Kyle Davies has looked, he was probably the best starter in the Cactus League. He'll be going tomorrow. So, you know, it always starts with the starting pitching.
Well, I guess I just had a couple questions left here for you, Steven. You kind of touched on both, so let's go with that pitching. Davies looks like he is going to be put into a spot to be a solid number three. And then where do we go? How long do you think Hochhaver will be down? How do you think the bottom part of that rotation is going to kind of fill out here maybe in 2 months?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, we all should hope that Sidney Ponsonboy is very successful. And, you know, I worked in Baltimore years ago when Sidney was there, and he was as much ability as anybody, but, his, you know, he couldn't handle it. You know, his maturity wasn't there, and that's been a problem for him again and again, but he does have ability. So, we're hoping Sidney's going to be excellent. If not, you know, you hope to get the most you can out of him. I think Hochhaver will be up. Luke has some things to work on, especially against left-handed hitters, I think, and his command and so forth. But, boy, when he was on last year, he was really good. So I'm certainly a big Luke fan and expect to see him up. But, you know, it's just impossible to know how Sidney's going to do and how Horacio Ramirez is going to do. Horacio has started in the past and done okay when he was a Brave. A lot of injuries over the years. He was excellent out of our bullpen last year. And now, he's the fifth starter. We'll see how he does. You know, Brian Bannister's also down there at Omaha. We had a couple of lefties, Heath Phillips and Lenny DiNardo, do pretty well. Lenny DiNardo did pretty well at spring training. Horacio's spring numbers were awful, but a lot of that was the defense. He was just a guy who had the black cloud over his head every time he went out there. They just played awful defense behind him, and so that definitely hurt him. But he is a guy who does need good defense because he isn't going to strike a lot of guys out, and he's going to pitch to contact and that sort of thing. But I'm curious to see how they do. I mean, we're all, you know, hopefully Sidney can show that ability. I mean, he's 32. He's won 90 major league games. That's more than Mesh has won in his career. Obviously, Sidney's a little older, but, you know, he's had some success. He won 17 games a few years back. So we'll see. You know, the nice thing about Sidney is he didn't, you know, relatively speaking, he didn't cost any money. So if it doesn't work out, you know, you got some guys in AAA ready to come up. I mean, Omaha sure looks like a heck of a team this year, and they're going to have some guys that are going to be able to help us and step right in, guys with major league experience.
Hey, finally, Steve, obviously everyone's looking forward to opening day in Kansas City coming up this Friday. Not only did the Yankees come in, and not only did you mention it's the 40th anniversary, but all the new additions and I guess the new Kauffman Stadium, same place, a lot of the same structure, but a whole revamped stadium here over the last couple years. Folks are going to be looking forward to that all year long, but give us a little sneak preview of what things look like down there.
I will, and I'm sure you've already, maybe you've mentioned this, but as my understanding, I think Jabba's pitching Sunday against Gil.
That's right. He's supposed to, yeah.
Yeah, so that's another thing for Husker fans, to, even though Jabba's had his issues, and of course we want to see him lose Sunday. He can win after that. That's fine. But
we're hoping for a no.
How about pitch well and the Yankees lose Sunday? Maybe that.
Yeah, we're looking for a no-decision Yankees
okay.
loss.
All right, there you go. I'll tell you what, I haven't been, you know, I've been gone for 6 weeks, but I took a tour in January, I took a tour in February, and even between those two tours, a lot had gone on. Of course, they had an open house there this past Sunday when the weather wasn't good, but a lot of, you know, thousands of people turned out to check it out. It's really amazing, and hope you folks listening get a chance to come down and check it out, because, you know, it was already a beautiful stadium, the fountains, you know, obviously there's a lot of history there. But it is so much more fan-friendly now. I mean, and I was only there last year, and it was sort of a construction zone. But I know the concourses were kind of tight. I know the restrooms weren't very weren't really adequate. It was sort of Spartan conditions compared with how the new stadiums are. Well, this is merging the best of the old best of the old with the best of the new. Same basic seating bowl with a few additions. It's a 360 ballpark. Now you can walk all the way around the ballpark. There's all kinds of things in the outfield, the concourse out there with, you know, putt-putt golf, and the new little K is there, and the merry-go-round for the kids, and batting cage and speed pitch and time running at runners to first, and there's a Sheridan's frozen yogurt store out there, and all kinds of kid family-oriented things out in the outfield. The concourses all the way around the ballpark are so much nicer. They're two and at some points three times as wide as they were. So even when there's a big crowd, and hopefully we'll have a lot of those this year, it's so much easier to get around. It's a lot more selections for the concessions you buy. The restrooms are all new. They've either been replaced or redone. It really is a new ballpark. And again, you know, there were those in Kansas City who thought, well, let's have a downtown ballpark because that's been one of the trends in baseball. But, you know, they spent $250 million to renovate this place, and we all know that's a lot of money. But in this day and age, to build a new Major League Baseball stadium, for $250 million, it would be really, really bare bones. It's really more like a $500 or $600 million thing. So for that kind of money, obviously you can't really build a new stadium with that, but you can do an amazing renovation job on an existing stadium where you already have the seating bowl and the basic infrastructure in place. So I think it's going to blow folks away. There's the new crown is a new crown that's been put on top of the. I don't know. Did you get out there last year?
I was there last year.
Okay.
Quite a few
times.
You saw the
crown vision board, which is amazing. The HD board out there. Well, now there's a crown on top. The old crown was too small for it, so it looks great with that on top of there. And it's just and there's of course the fountain seats. Now folks are going to be able to sit in left field between the outfield fence and the fountains. There are three rows of seats there. You can actually be right on top of the outfield wall, right inside the fountains. And there's some seats behind the fountains in left. And then in right field, because the wind blows from your direction so often, the right field side, they don't have fountain seats, but they have like a standing row area between the fence and the fountains because the wind blows toward right field so much. That way, on a really cold day, maybe people don't want to stand there, but on a nice day or on a really hot day, and maybe they do want the water on them, they can stand there and enjoy it. So there's going to be a lot of nooks and crannies, and the upstairs is a whole giant food court up in the view level now. You know, new offices have been built on the home plate side over on the Arrowhead Stadium side, and the upstairs concourse and food court and everything is on top of what those new offices are. It's got a giant atrium that you look down on, new escalators. I mean, it really, you walk in there, and then if you come up, you'll see the new press box and everything else. I mean, you're going to have to ask, where do I go for this? Where do I go for that? Because it's the same stadium. But I think it's going to take folks a while to get oriented and really find out where everything is there.
Well, we're looking forward to getting down there a little bit later on. I know we've got some folks in the listening area that have already told me they're going to be down there for that Yankees series. So
great.
We're looking for good baseball, obviously, and obviously great facilities. And, Steve, hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with you as the season progresses. We sure appreciate you giving us some time and a preview today.
Anytime, Doug, anytime.
Thanks. From the Royals Radio Network on the Doug and Daddy Show, Steve Stewart joining us here to get the program rolling on this Wednesday. Again, tonight you can hear the game, 7-11, first pitch. That's the way they roll in Chicago. I guess some chain sponsors the 7-11 start time. I don't know who that would be. But the Royals tonight, all the Royals games here on ESPN Radio. Tomorrow, another afternoon game at 1:05. Then the home opener on Sunday, 3:10, first pitch from Kansas City. Well, let's take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk with the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm and your chance to win great tickets to Nebraska-Texas baseball for tomorrow night. Keep it here.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Let's open the mouth, let the words out.
Unfortunately, this happens altogether too often.
Sam takes pride in lowering his energy bills, regardless of what it takes to lower them.
Excuse me, sweetheart.
I was watching that.
But now, Trane can help fiscally minded people like Sam.
Sam!
Because upgrading your central air system to a high efficiency Trane model can potentially save up to 59% on your energy bills.
Dad. Sorry, son.
Let's power back up, Sam. Then let's find you a Trane dealer.
Upgrade your current central air system with a high efficiency Trane model at Fidelki Heating and Air in Kearney.
It's hard to stop a train.
Have an itch that needs to be scratched? Well, here's where you get relief. Eagle Crest Homes, West Highway 30 in Grand Island.
decided against that Honolulu or Paris vacation this year, huh? Well, then take several small vacations to state or national parks in your new camper from Eagle Crest. Fifth wheels to fold downs, Eagle Crest has them all and more, like new Nebraska Strong custom-built Bonavilla homes starting as low as $84.9. So scratch your camper or your new home itch at Eagle Crest, West Highway 30 in Grand Island. Eagle Crest Homes, a subsidiary of Chief Industries.
Get hopping to ABC Drug and Gift and fill your goodie baskets for Easter. Find Easter decor from eggs, bunnies, and so much more. Don't forget to get your Easter treats with specialty chocolates from Russell Stover's. Sure to put a big sweet smile on any bunny's face. We all know the Easter Bunny shops at ABC Drug and Gift because he always finds exactly what he needs for Easter. ABC Drug and Gift, your Health Mart Pharmacy, Kauffman Center, downtown Kearney.
It's just as easy as ABC Drug Store.
All the excitement of Kansas City Royals baseball is on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Alex drives one to deep center and back goes Wise. Still going back and gone. Alex Gordon gets it over the wall and dead center. It's 400 feet to straightaway center. And Alex getting a pitch in the middle of the plate and drove it hard.
Royals baseball all season long, brought to you in part by Skeeter Barnes on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Now, Doug and Danny are in the herd.
You can't be afraid of blood.
The herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 until 11, and 12 to 1 weekday.
And he's not happy about it.
With a little bull from Doug and Daddy about three quarters of the way through from 11 to noon.
The roles will be a little bit reversed.
Forget Wall Street. The bull market is here. Weekdays, 9 until 1.
I hope your dancing is a little bit better.
On ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
More sunshine will continue across the area today with a high temperature around the lower 60s with winds turning variable at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, expect some increasing cloud cover and a slight chance for showers late with a low temperature in the mid-30s. We'll see rain showers which could mix in with some wet snow on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 52.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Major League Baseball, the Masters on 100 channels, baseball on 100 channels, and whatever else you may want to watch this week, you can watch it all while enjoying great food and drink specials at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney and Grand Island. Get into the Chicken Coop for a home-style lunch special. Why go anywhere else? Because now, lunch specials include the hot beef sandwich, chicken fried steak or chicken fried chicken, or home-style meatloaf. All specials served with mashed potatoes, gravy, and dinner roll. Or, for some of you, they're served with taters, gravy, and a roll. All good. It's all good. Come on down to the Coop where every Major League Baseball game is on. They have all the games all season long. And you can watch baseball from every seat in the house because there's so many great HD TVs on hand. While you're there, maybe one of Coop's great burgers. Of course, the mushroom burger, patty melt, totally jack burger, the bacon burger. And I was in there the other night getting ready for the championship game between North Carolina and Michigan State. And I was talking with Colin, and he has brought out what is a top seller out of state, but now is starting to, one of those things, you know, hey, well, Runza started in Nebraska. Now a lot of people know about Runza. And something started here and something started there. Well, this, he tells me, is one of the top sellers in South Dakota. It's called Chislic. It's sirloin beef tips fried and seared with your favorite wing sauce. Right now, you can get that at the Chicken Coop with choice of a side item for $6.99. We tried some of this the other night. It was very, very good. I mean, You're getting 8 ounces of choice steak meat. The only thing is they're cutting it up and they're putting a different sauce on it, and you get to put the sauce. It's whatever you want. It's very tasty, and I thought it was great as an appetizer, but you could have it as a meal as well. Try the Chislic as well while you're enjoying some Masters or some baseball at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney, and Grand Island.
Weird South Dakotans.
It was good. It was steak. Because he goes, here, try this. I'm going, yeah, okay. Okay, what are you doing? Yeah, it's steak, but it's liver. It's chicken, but it's snake. No. It was, so I tasted it, and I went, whoa.
I went, whoa, now please tell me this is something that I want it to be. And, oh, yeah, it was great steak. And try out the Chislic. Ask Colin and the gang about it at the Chicken Coop. I'm sorry. I'm expecting, you know, we haven't had an email from H-Man in Riverdale in a while. But if he saw Ted Kennedy throw out the first pitch at the Red Sox game yesterday,
wow!
I am sure we will get one.
Now, to Ted Kennedy's credit,
I know.
He's had some major health issues as of late, but
I'm waiting for that to show up on Family Guy.
Oh man!
I mean, it's unbelievable. You can't watch too much Family Guy, then you start thinking like him, and it's always over the line a little bit. But unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hastings College Baseball, they're going to start their game today with York an hour later. It's going to be at 6. So 1 9-inning game, York at Hastings. It's now a 6 o'clock start at Duncan Field. For the Hastings College and York baseball contest. And they're home all weekend as well, including Friday and Saturday. Blake Griffin has declared for the NBA draft. Many pundits are saying he will be the number one pick in the draft. The UConn women, 39-0. They win the national championship. Every one of their games, all 39, they won by double digits. That is amazing. Unbeaten, and none of them were really close. None of them were close. Of course, the Masters with the Par 3 contest we told you about, Jason Sobel from ESPN.com is going to join us on the program today or tomorrow. Hastings College baseball team, 2 wins yesterday, 4-3 in both games over Midland Lutheran. Hastings softball also going to play today. It was supposed to be tomorrow. Tomorrow's not supposed to be nice, so they're going to play today. Briarcliff comes in for softball at 4 o'clock. A young man that we've had on this program before, Brandon Crick, now a junior with the Nebraska golf team, took home the Branson Creek Invitational title yesterday, a 36-hole total of 147, good for a one-stroke victory, and Nebraska finished tied for fifth in the team standings, but great job there for Brandon Crick, bringing home the championship, the McCook native winning it there for Nebraska. UNK golfers finished 13 in the Kicking Bird Classic, my favorite one of the entire year, sponsored by Central Oklahoma. And the RMAC announced its all-academic wrestling team. 4 Lopers, 3 of them on the first team. Keenan McCurdy, Ryan Etherton, Islam Abatov, and Jordan White is on the second team. And the USHL playoffs get underway tomorrow. Green Bay in the East is the number 1 seed. They'll take on Waterloo. Cedar Rapids, the number 2 seed, will take on Indiana Friday. The West will get underway Friday. The Lincoln Stars are the top seed. They will host Sioux Falls. Omaha will host Fargo. And in just a moment, we're going to talk with the Storm brand-new coach. But I've got this for you, Derek. Now, I realize all this other stuff, but I'm looking at this schedule, and most of the time it's in this best of 5, 2 home, 2 road, and then the best seed gets the 5th game at home. And that's the way all of these series are. Now, when Tri-Cities were playing Lincoln or Omaha, sometimes they'd go back and forth. But none of these are really close enough to do that. Lincoln and Sioux Falls probably could have, but they're not. Here is the schedule for the Omaha-Fargo series. Friday, Fargo at Omaha. Saturday, Fargo at Omaha. Sunday, Omaha at Fargo. Wednesday, Omaha at Fargo.
Oh, brutal.
What?
Brutal.
What? Why don't you go up Tuesday? I mean, you're playing Friday, Saturday, and then you're turning around, and you're going all the way up to Fargo. Are you kidding me? And then if that still goes to a 4-game series, either you stay there all the way till Wednesday night, or you come back home to Omaha. What is that, like a 10, 12-hour drive? That is just unbelievable. That is unbelievable. I would, as much as it would be nice to be in the playoffs,
it's the beauty of the USHL scheduling. Regular season, playoffs, doesn't matter.
Reminds me a lot of the indoor football league scheduling. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm right after this.
I'm sorry, we have to stop, man. No disrespect.
Time to take a commercial break.
Stop talking.
Even in a depression, the entertainment industry thrives.
This weather update is brought to you by Rich Peters and Matt Myers from Farm Bureau Insurance, located on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both
personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent, and a health plan from a company you know and trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. An independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
More sunshine will continue across the area today with a high temperature around the lower 60s, with winds turning variable at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, expect some increasing cloud cover and a slight chance for showers late with a low temperature in the mid-30s. We'll see rain showers which could mix in with some wet snow on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 52.
Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni.
I will say that the kids and the folks that ride the Zamboni at the Storm games always have a smile on their face. I don't know if it's happiness or fear, but they're always out there loving that. That's a good part of Storm games, riding the Zamboni. Coming up in just moments, Drew Shenick is going to join us, the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm. Of course, it's not really hockey season the way the weather is. Now, that'll change tomorrow, of course, when we got that all going. But we want to let you know that with baseball and softball season here for some and nearly here for others, it's time to place your uniform orders at Misco Sports on the breaks in the downtown Kearney Center. The neatest looking and the best quality uniforms are from Misco Sports. Plus, they've got all the gear you need to go along with the uniform. The hats, the bat bags, the shoes, the ball gloves, and right now all baseball and softball gloves are 10% off. Baseball and softball shoes and all the gear could be for little girls softball, could be for fast pitch or slow pitch men's or women's softball, could be for little kids baseball, little league, could be for Legion baseball, could be for the Kearney Colonels. You never know. There's all kinds of gear at Misco Sports, whether it's balls, baseballs, softballs, batting helmets, hitting nets, training supplies. It's all right there. And, of course, if you're the men in blue, umpire apparel and protective equipment as well. Get ready for summer. Great selection of shorts and walking shoes as well. Misco Sports on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. See them before the games begin. Well, there were some games yesterday. Track, soccer, also baseball going on in the high school ranks. And the Grand Island baseball team swept the doubleheader from Norfolk. They're off to a good start, 8-5-8-4 in track. Hastings St. Cecilia, they're just awful good. And their boys and girls sweep the Sandy Creek Invitational yesterday. At the Franklin Invite, Franklin edges out Heartland Lutheran and then Loomis in the boys' competition. For the girls, Lawrence Nelson, your winner, followed by Loomis and Franklin. Finally, in soccer, Kearney swept the doubleheader from Lexington. Holdridge swept the doubleheader from Northwest. Grand Island and Hastings split. Hastings winning the girls and Grand Island winning the boys in double overtime. 1-888-455-ESPN, or you can email us anytime, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Again, tomorrow on the program, we're going to be talking with Joe DiMaio with the Fantasy Baseball, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Go ahead and check that out on your webpage and see how things are going as the baseball season's underway. You've got the fantasy draft going. I remember fantasy football. Sometimes after week one, you've already got somebody that needs to be picked up. That's the same way with baseball. We'll talk with Joe tomorrow about that. Also, Jason Sobel, live from Augusta tomorrow, and the Masters, is going to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I don't know what to think. I think this whole Masters thing might be being overthought. I think you can compare it to North Carolina in the NCAA men's tournament. Everybody was looking for a way to get North Carolina beat or not have them as the winner. And they were healthy, and they came through. Well, Tiger wouldn't be playing if Tiger wasn't healthy. And I think Tiger is going to be right there, ready to go when things get going tomorrow at the Masters. He is paired, by the way. He will be the second to last group to go off. Will he have all his round on TV? Yes, he will. Tiger Woods will be with Stuart Sink and Jeev Milka Singh. Well, at least he'll have a lot of his round on there. So that's who Tiger is with. Phil will go with Camilo Vijegas and Jim Furyk. Some other interesting pairings tomorrow. And, of course, when you get to the Masters, they're all interesting because everybody is good. Padraig Harrington looking for his third straight win in a major. We'll go with Mike Weir and Ruji Amada. How about this grouping? Vijay Singh, Ernie Els, Jeff Ogilvy. There's some golf to watch tomorrow. And one thing that they have started to do at the Masters, remember when all the folks that had won the Masters can play in it, all the old-timers, they would just group them together and send them off early in the morning and hopefully getting them out of the way. That's the way I viewed it. They're not doing that anymore. They are sending all the former champions who you figure have no chance of competing or at least being on the first two pages of the leaderboard or maybe even necessarily making the cut. Now, Sandy Lyle approved differently before, but they're all broken up a little bit. You got Sandy Lyle, you've got Ray Floyd, you've got Fuzzy Zeller, you've got Craig Stadler. Gary Player is playing with Luke Donald and Stephen Ames. So it'll be interesting to see how these guys can play with the younger guys that might slow play down just a little bit. And how about to Greg Norman, Bernhard Langer, and Lee Westwood going off tomorrow morning in a group as well. So it should be some interesting Masters. We'll give you some picks tomorrow. We'll talk to Jason on the program tomorrow as well and let you know who he likes in this field as the Masters tees off tomorrow morning. We are efforting the head coach of the Tri-City Storm, Drew Shenick, and so we will continue to effort him. And in the meantime, we remind you to fire us off your emails to the Dent Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Fire it off. The Ace Hardware and Toro Bull or No Bull email of the day could be on any of the topics that we've touched on so far today. Of course, we talked Royals baseball. I still don't like Kyle Farnsworth. He seems to blow more games than he holds or saves. The hold is trying to get to Joaquin Soria now, and it just already it leaves you a kick in the stomach. The Royals lost yesterday a lot like they lost last year. They had the lead. They should have had more runs. They didn't. That set it up for a two-out, bottom of the eighth, three-run home run to beat you 4-2. And you shake your head and you go, really? Is that what happens again? And you just don't want that to happen all season long. And, of course, Farnsworth is the one that comes in and blows it in that ball game and gives up the three-run home run, which was a no-doubter to center field. So the Royals 0-1. By the way, this news flash in, the Cubs will not go 162-0 after losing in extra innings yesterday to Houston. So 161-1, I am now told, is the best the Cubs can do from Cub Nation. So we'll find out if they can get back in the win column against Houston as they wrap up that series. We are pleased to be joined right now, though, on the Doug and Daddy Show for his inaugural appearance and hopefully the first of many, the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm, Drew Shenick. Drew, welcome and congratulations.
Well, thanks very much, guys.
We are glad to have you on the program today, and I guess there's so many questions, but first, tell the folks a little bit about Drew Shenick, and we've kind of filled the folks in on your playing career, at least where you've been, your coaching career, where you've been. You've had a little time off now. You've got to be eager to get back into the coaching ranks. Compare coming to the Storm or where you've been in the past.
Well, I've been kind of a little bit of everywhere. If you've got an atlas, I tell you kind of where I'm at, and certainly I've been in the Manitoba Junior Hockey League, the British Columbia Hockey League, which is Junior A in Canada. I've been in the major junior circles with the Prince George Cougars, and certainly kind of been a little bit of everywhere, and really looking forward to get down into Kearney, into the Tri-Cities.
Well, I tell you what, not only are we meeting Drew Shenick, but I think we're meeting Connor as well, right?
Yeah, that's my little guy. He's certainly busy and running around, and he lives and breathes the game of hockey, that's for sure.
Well, you've known Kirk Brooks, the new owner of the Storm, since 2004. Talk about your relationship with the new owner.
Well, it's been a relationship for about 5 years now, where where I was an assistant coach with the Las Vegas Wranglers. We had used his ice facility as our practice facility, and we forged a relationship with him there, and then again over the years in the rinks we ran into each other, and when it came time to talking to Kirk about the Tri-City job, I was very excited.
A lot of folks think that this kind of marriage was all together, that you were the man coming in where Kirk decided to purchase this team. Was that the agreement all along?
Well, it kind of was. We had talked. I knew that he was in the process of purchasing a team in the USHL. And, again, I wanted to get back into coaching. And when I had the opportunity possibly to coach in the prestigious USHL, it was certainly something I wanted. So we started talking about it. And I flew down to Vegas to meet with him, and kind of our philosophies kind of meshed with how we wanted our team to play and what we wanted to do with the organization. And here we are. I'm the new head coach.
Drew Schenick, the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Drew, how much have you been able to find out about the Storm already?
Well, I was actually down in Kearney this past weekend for their last two games, and we had a chance to sit down with all the guys that are eligible to return. And it was a situation where, I think, there's some good players. There's some talent there that we're definitely going to have back. But again, when you have a season that's 11-48, some changes have to be made. And that's what we're working on this summer.
The bio says you like to build the team from the back end up. And when you look at a team that's 11-48, obviously there's going to be some talent. They've been very injured. But you're going to be looking to scout and bring in probably a lot of new players. Where do you start with that?
Well, again, I think that, championships, and it doesn't matter what level you're at, whether it's the National Hockey League or the United States Hockey League, you win with good goaltending and good defense. And by meaning good defense, it's good team defense, not just your defenseman on the ice. But again, we're going to evaluate both our goaltenders here and see if we can upgrade there. We're going to look at the returning defenseman and what we have and see what we're going to have to bring in. But again, you have to be able to keep the puck out of your net in order to win hockey games. And I think that, with some of the returning guys, I know there are some injured guys, on the back end and up front. I think we'll have enough to score, but we have to keep them out of our net.
Drew, when will you be in Kearney, officially to stay?
Well, we're just kind of, my wife and I are just kind of going over that and trying to figure out when exactly we're going to move down there. And it's, it's a situation where, kind of things just happen quick here. We're hoping sometime maybe in July.
I take a look at this team and this USHL specifically, and of course the producer of the show is involved with the Tri-City Storm, Derek being the PA announcer out there, and I think he'll agree with me as well. From year to year, yeah, you're going to have some consistency in the league, but boy, we have seen cellar dwellers win, and we have seen winners go right down to the cellar because of the quick turnover and the age limit, and you just don't build a team for 10, 12 years. It's a quick turnaround. The fans want to know, is that a reality? What are your expectations in year one?
Well, it certainly is a reality. Again, I'm not going to go out and guarantee an Anderson Cup or anything like that, but we're going to do everything we can to make ourselves competitive. And you're right, with the nature of the USHL, with guys graduating onto college as much as they do, there's the opportunity for, some of the strong teams to be weak, and there's an opportunity for some of the weaker teams to go out and have a good recruiting season and put themselves right back in a position to compete. And right now, that's what we're planning on doing. We don't want to, sit back and say we're going to build and build and build. We want to, get a team together right now that's going to be competitive night in and night out and hopefully challenge for the top spot.
Drew, whether this is good, bad, or indifferent, and to be honest, I don't know, because there's talent everywhere, but a lot of this team under Bliss Littler, Tom Rudrud, over the last 6 years since 2003, I know a lot of recruiting was in that hotbed of Minnesota, into Canada, scouting tournaments, into Chicago, and that area of the country. You not necessarily being from that area of the country, are we going to see different kids from the Northwest and from the West?
Well, I think they're going to see some flavor from the West. There's no question. I know that there's lots of talent out there, starting from California into Texas and Colorado. But again, we're not going to close any doors on any areas. I think, Minnesota, Wisconsin, New York, those places all have good hockey players too. And I think it's, I'd be remiss to say that we were going to ignore the East. or just go into the West. I think we have to touch on all bases, and I think there's, you know, I'm going to be in Chicago here for a couple weekends in a row starting at the end of this month, you know, watching some showcases and trying to find the players.
Is there a difference in the style of hockey player from those regions?
Well, you know what, I don't really know. Again, it's I don't think there's necessarily a difference in style. It's just you want to find the best available players, and we have a style of player we have in mind. Obviously, the game at the National Hockey level has gone to such a skill game that, you know, your players have to be able to skate first and foremost, and outside of that, they've got to compete no matter what size they are. And I think if you have those combinations of players, whether they're from the East or from from the West, I think you're going to give yourself a chance to have a good hockey club.
Well, Drew, we look forward to meeting you face-to-face when you get back to Kearney. We congratulate you on this. I know the draft is less than 30 days away, and it's a whirlwind at this time. You got a lot going on, and we'll let you get back to it, especially taking care of young Connor.
All right. Well, thanks very much, guys.
Thanks for the time. We'll see you when you get here.
Okay.
Drew Shenick, the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, Derek, I think that is one thing, as I was talking to Coach, I think that's one thing we will see that's different. We will see different players, different style of play. And I still think there's a lot of people that go to Tri-City Storm hockey games that wouldn't be able to know if it was a different style or not. But I think you're going to see some different type of players.
Right, yeah, you might see some different type of players come in. If you've followed the Storm over the last several years, you've seen a lot of those players, like you mentioned, from Minnesota, from up north, from Michigan, you know, from the Detroit area, a lot of stuff like that. I think this last year, really off the top of my head, I know Jeff Smith is from Washington, from Spokane, Washington. But outside of that, most of our guys are from either up north or from over on the East Coast. So it'll be interesting to see the change, to see what kind of players he brings in, to see what kind of camps that he takes in and where he starts bringing these players in from. And you're right, Doug, maybe it'll come in with a little bit of a different style. I know a lot of the kids from up north, from the Detroit area, have a reputation for being gritty, relatively physical players. So it'll be interesting to see who he brings in from the West, out West, and what they can do.
Well, he doesn't have a lot of time to get this team ready, but if you were to guess, and we're not going to name names, how many of these kids will be back next year on the Storm?
If I had to guess from an objective standpoint, I would say six to nine, possibly. From a fan standpoint, I would like to see 10 to 12 of them possibly return. Obviously, some of the names that even Drew mentioned in an interview were obviously Josh Berge, Anthony DeCenzo, Radoslav Elo, kind of the core group from this last year's team. I definitely like to see those guys return, but also guys like Danny Heath, who had a terrible season with a shoulder injury first game of the season, never got back out on the ice. He was our veteran coming into this year, and losing him, I think, had a lot to do with the defensive struggles this year. But guys like that, I mean, obviously, they have USHL experience, which is very big in winning games in the USHL. Like to see those guys come back.
Need to take our final break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, but before we go into break, as promised, we have got a family four-pack of tickets to tomorrow night's Nebraska-Texas game. These are club-level seating. These are great seats brought to you by Broadfoot Sand and Gravel and the Doug and Daddy Show. These are four tickets to Thursday night's Nebraska-Texas game. First pitch at 6:05. I want you to have a little knowledge of Nebraska baseball. This isn't the greatest trivia question because it's not a positive. It's more of a negative. How many walks did the Nebraska pitching staff issue in last night's loss to Creighton? How many walks did the Nebraska pitching staff issue in last night's loss to Creighton? First correct caller, 1-888-455-ESPN. Four-pack of Nebraska-Texas tickets to tomorrow's game. Back after this.
The Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I can't put up with you people because you're bastard people.
These guys really suck.
Awful. So bad.
Anyway, our heroes will be right back.
If anxiety or outright fear of dentists has caused you to avoid proper dental care and your smile has fallen into a state of long-term neglect, our team is here to help you. I'm Dr. Michael Bryson with Metalark Dental Associates and have served the Tri-City area for 30 years. Sedation dentistry is good news. With sedation dentistry, proven procedures can be performed as you relax in comfort. We can accomplish more in a single visit, reducing the number of appointments needed to restore your smile. Don't let anxieties and fears about a dental appointment keep you from achieving good dental health and a spectacular smile.
For more about Dr. Michael Bryson's sedation dentistry, log on to MeadowlarkDental.com, MeadowlarkDental.com, or call for an appointment at 308-234-3668, 308-234-3668. Do it today for a brighter smile tomorrow.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at Weather Eye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
More sunshine will continue across the area today with a high temperature around the lower 60s, with winds turning variable at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, expect some increasing cloud cover and a slight chance for showers late with a low temperature in the mid-30s. We'll see rain showers which could mix in with some wet snow on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 52.
Doug and Daddy Show. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Yeah, the Nebraska pitching staff issued 11 walks in last night's ball game. And who knew that, Derek? 11 walks in last night's ballgame.
Levi from up in Comstock actually knew it, so he's got himself some tickets.
Sweet. So, Comstock has given us so much, it's time to give back to Comstock. Congratulations to Levi. Tomorrow's 6:05 first pitch, where we are hoping to get Nebraska back in the win column. And if you're getting out in the field, it's time to get you back in the win column, folks. It's time to plant corn in the Cornhusker State and plant Dyna-Gro to win this year, folks. 57V07, 58V72, and 57V38 will all win on your farm's team in 2009. You know what I've always found out?
What's that?
Winning Husker games makes farmers happy. You know what else makes farmers happy? Winning planting time, winning yields in the fall, and you will feel like a winner no matter what's going on the field when you plant Dyna-Gro. All VT triple hybrids will, they're right there. Built-in defense, just like the 09 Huskers. Dyna-Gro is growing again in 09. Plant it on your farm and see why. Grow with Dyna-Gro. You can call Lauren Demand Kaiser or Dyna Dave at 800-652-9298. That's 800-652-9298. Plant Dyna-Gro to make you a winner this year. Dyna-Gro, it's growing in your field. Well, we hope you enjoyed another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. We want to thank the fine folks that joined us on the program today. The new coach of the Tri-City Storm, Drew Schenick. Also from the Royals Radio Network, Steve Stewart, to break down the Royals as the season is underway. Game 2 tonight at Chicago. Pre-game at 6:35. First pitch is at 7:11 here on ESPN Radio. Tomorrow, the Frozen Four. The Frozen Four gets underway. You can hear that on ESPN Radio because we got all the championships for you. Also, on the show tomorrow, Joe DiMaio from FantasyPlayersEdge.com and from Augusta and the Masters from ESPN.com, Jason Sobel. Check out his blogs and his work at ESPN.com. And, of course, if you missed any of the great interviews, and we've had some great ones on the show this week, Augie Garrido on the Texas head coach yesterday, among others, go to our website, ESPNSuperstation.com. Click on the podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal in the Loft. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!